Need that, or there'll be a bunch of feedback. It is now 7:01. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-chair Charette, co-chair Lennon, Commissioner Cadleck,
Here.
Commissioner Avalos,
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt, Commissioner Beckman,
Here.
Commissioner Shader,
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt.
Here.
We have six voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. I've received nothing in advance. There's nobody here, so we will move along to adoption of the July 14th meeting minutes. Did anybody have any corrections, catch any typos or formatting errors I made, anything like that?
Motion to approve.
All right, motion from Commissioner Shader. Do we have a second?
I will second.
Commissioner Cadleck. Co-chair Lennon. Commissioner Cadleck.
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos.
Yeah.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
Commissioner Beckman.
Yes.
Commissioner Shader.
Yes.
All right. We will move along to commissioner updates. Does anybody have anything outside of the agenda items?
Yeah, I've got something. And this might be, I actually went to the Green Pack Compact thing when it was a couple weeks ago. So it was quite good. It was essentially like all the suburbs had people there. And they went over and stuff in great detail. And I brought this with me. But do we have I'm assuming, do we have a sustainability plan? Does the village have one?
So there had been an old sustainability plan, I believe from 2020, 2021, that really just listed off a number of the programs that the Sustainability Commission at the time had undertaken. I know we had discussed it at the commission level a few times of trying to update it, and it was, I think it's a close to 60-page document. I can forward it to you. And then I know we have adopted the Greenest Region Compact
The
and
reality is, it seems like we're doing a lot of stuff from what I've heard. It might be reasonable to just sort of, get a plan and then see how to move forward. I don't know if that's work, how much work that is. It might not be that much work, actually.
No, that I think that sounds like a great plan. And the other thing we had done is when a couple years ago we had partnered with University of Illinois Chicago. Graduate students did create a couple of climate action plans as their semester project for the village. And I'm not sure if I haven't shared that with you as well, I can share those with you.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to help with that or whatever. And all we need is essentially list what we've done, use this as a template, and then essentially put something together.
Yes, I know. I was unable to make that meeting. That was the week I was on
They had
vacation.
excellent food there. You missed it.
But I know they've been in the process. They had a meeting back in May when they were just starting to update that, and I think they said they were going to be updating it through the fall. So, and then have like a finalized version some point this fall.
I think that exercise might be a good excuse to, in addition to just recognizing what we've done, also think about ways that we could recommend to the village that they articulate certain standards that could give some clarity to issues like the lighting at the tennis courts that came up last, I don't know, winter. Perhaps writing that into code. What is expected, what's allowed. So going a step beyond just sort of collecting what we've done and starting to think about, well, what can we really think so that when people come up with ideas going forward, they have some certainty and they have guidance from the village if we can help the village kind of come up with that.
So, what would be the process, Seth, if we were going to move forward? I mean, it'll take a little time, obviously, but what's the process for that?
In terms of reviewing the
I guess we're maybe put in here what we've done, what else is available, and then come up with a roadmap or a plan.
I think that would just be something we would add to the agenda for the upcoming meetings and discuss it and sort of over the course of however many meetings we see fit, just to update it and
Like
sort
a
of,
working group or something. Okay, that might not be an unreasonable idea because we're putting that together.
And I do think to that point, I think I'm not sure, it might have been in one or two newsletters. I don't remember, but adding the UIC climate action plan that those undergraduates were they
It was
worked
graduate
on.
level.
Oh, graduate level worked on. I think that might just be good to
Yeah, you
inform
can just
the communities. I don't know.
No, it's fine. Just take it into the home, Dev.
Susan, if you could mute yourself. Jeez.
Blown off. Bye, Lev.
Pieces of it that don't necessarily apply to us. We don't have the control over like taxing things and some of those kind of stuff. So it got crossed off, and then some of the other things that made sense did become part of our agenda. There's other things that steered. We worked kind of hard on basic plan.
Yeah, why? I can only see me.
Several years ago. And we worked there for a while, though. Tends to be difficult with the turnover we have.
Yeah, I could imagine.
A lot of problems with that. And what we really have settled on the last couple of years came from a survey. It started out based on blowers, but we added a whole bunch of other stuff in it. And some of the things that we thought were the priority weren't necessarily the priority of the feedback we got. The priority of what the residents responded really what had to do with some of the things that we're focused on now. Natural things within the community, things like the birds, those types of things. So some have moved a little bit away from focus on recycling and solar and those types of things to focus our energies on those things that the community said they really want. And that to me serves two purposes. One, as you come up with your own ideas and what can and can't do here, but really don't have a lot of control. We're not the big day. So what we really can do is influence and communicate both. And the way to do that is start to get them in. The way you get them in is by breaking in on things that they're most interested in. And so some of the things, that's what you always hear me.
Dad, I can't hear a thing.
Is your thing on?
Is your mic on?
Also, I guess I must have turned it off. The thing that I keep pushing is particularly with the young people, right? Get them engaged, get them out, putting the stuff, helping put some of the stuff out, because that starts to bring in the parents and that brings in people around these little small islands of things. So I'm all for a plan and laying it out. But my view is just keep it in the context of how do we just continue to grow and engage the community? Because to me, that's where, at least over the last year and a half, I think we've seen the most success. I mean, what Dave did with the Bird Hawk was wonderful. The number of people he drug in that wanted to participate in that. And that goes a long way in helping some of these other things move forward as well. So we'll continue to push on, the things we push on, whether it be recycling or composting and those types of things. But the way you get people paying attention to it is by already having them participating at some other level. That's kind of how I viewed it over the last year and a half since we did that survey. There's a lot of stuff that we thought were kind of high priority. People are not gonna go buy a new stove. I don't need one, that type of stuff. But when it came to the response, it really had to do with what are we doing to foster the nature part of this community.
Yeah, I'm in favor of a plan and taking community input and having that drive things and educating the community too. When I joined and I saw the last time there was a plan, even if we don't follow it rigorously, like 6 years ago, I'm like, probably should update that, right, to some extent. But 100% in line and getting feedback from the community, but having a direction and a vision and points to view against, I think would be useful and happy to help too.
Yeah.
Can I just interrupt for a sec? Is there a reason you guys, the video's not on?
I don't know how to get it turned on.
Oh, it's never on?
Typically not for...
We can see you though.
There's... Yeah, the board one is on because it's okay. Broadcast on like YouTube, but I'm not honestly
okay.
Sure how to.
Okay, so I'm just. Can you guys see me?
Yes. We can see you. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, I'll be careful what I do then. Yeah.
but everybody but Jeff has and Ty are basically in the same seats, so you can kind of picture how that is.
Oh, you never switched, didn't we? I'll give you your seat back.
Oh, it's okay.
So what I'll do is I will just. For everyone's reference, and some of the newer members might not have seen this, I'll be sure to share the survey results, the links to the climate plans. Those are pretty big files, but feel free. And then I can even pull the updated Greenest Region Compact
and do
share
this
that
electronically.
I believe I do. Yes.
You want this?
I don't need it. Okay. Physical copy.
Okay.
But Seth, the one that would probably be of most value, I think, would be the one where you and the leadership of the village went through the assessment of those
plans. Oh, yep. Yeah. So, yeah, with the climate plan items, there was basically we just went through and marked things as, you know, stuff we had already implemented, things that were not sort of feasible or realistic, items for the commission to consider, items that could easily be incorporated into existing communications efforts, because a lot of things were like create guides or create workshops for, and then basically just different ways to provide residents with information. And then sort of items for sort of not immediate consideration, but potential future consideration. And those were things like a, you know, community like ride, like bike sharing programs and things like that, like the Divvy bikes or things like that. So
cool.
Anyone else have anything before we jump into the bird stuff? All right. So for the focal species monitoring, I did share everyone the raw data from the spreadsheet that David had shared, and then I included the one pager that David had wrote up in here in the packet.
It's actually our new commissioner who put the words together for that.
We work together.
We work together. Nice. Yeah. Ty's been really super helpful. So I just feel like we've made kind of a quantum jump here in terms of the, you know, taking everything we had and putting it all in one place and starting to think about it. So I have to give huge thanks to Ty for helping with that. And also hope that, you know, we can continue this going forward.
I think there's a lot of potential for sure.
Okay. So yeah, there's a lot there to take a look at. And as a matter of fact, I just got some data this afternoon that I sent to Ty from one of our last student monitors. I wanted to share with the group communication I had with a advising ornithologist that I've been in communication with out in Washington State, who's a specialist in this species. And I shared the our findings with her. And she wrote that she thinks our natural area results, and she means by that Thatcher Woods, may have some new information about the species.
Mm. Whoa.
Wow. That's cool.
What she means by that, she goes on, I haven't seen a lot of natural area use in that close proximity to a city or suburban area. That might be a missing link to urban nighthawk conservation.
Wow. And then they'll be so happy to hear that. Adam Kessel and the Forest Preserve people.
The Forest Preserve guys, yeah. Okay. Well, so then follows a list of sort of suggestions on how we could continue to research next year with what we found. And I think basically what she's saying is that, and this kind of jumped at me when I was talking with Jeff Hart, who was the guy that got in there and gave us our observations, is that we have now, I think, a pretty good idea of the habitats that the nighthawks use in the city, where they have habitats, where they're losing habitats, where they've lost habitats. To some extent, I think as we go forward, we're actually going to document habitat loss, which is a slow motion camera on the extinction of a species, at least locally. So that's disheartening, although it's important. But what the Thatcher Woods results show us is that we all know this bird can survive in the wild in certain habitats, but in a natural area that's in the middle of a built up suburban residential area, full of people who, when Jeff was observing, were, you know, in their cars kind of enjoying themselves, that it can still reproduce in that context could be really, really important. So There hasn't been a lot of research looking at that. And so I think that tells us next year what we need to do. And I'm excited about that. Look forward to kind of setting it up. And hopefully we can repeat this and look at some of the same sites, bring in some of the same people, and see what else we can learn. But I think we've received a tremendous reinforcement from a spokesperson from the specialist community concerning this species. So with that, I thought that, and I mentioned this to Ty and Seth, there's a conference of the local conservation community coming up in February, and it's called Wild Things. You may have heard of it. And it runs, people are there from Lincoln Park Zoo, Brookfield Zoo, the aquarium, the forest preserve districts of, all around. And they talk about conservation, wildlife, what have you. And I thought we should present our findings there. I'd like to present our findings there and get them out in public. So
when is that, David?
February. It's a Saturday in February 26, if I recall.
27,
yeah. So the deadline for that is September 13th. Happy to put together a proposal. They're very interested in conservation projects that involve the community and that involve stewardship of local environment. And I think that's just like, we're all on that. So I think with that, we could, for the final application for Bird City, have something pretty substantial then.
Yeah.
To say we accomplished.
Super exciting.
I don't know when you would like to, if you want to wait to see when we get a paper, if we get a paper accepted or what.
Yeah. I mean, at this point we're good to wait. So I have, the first draft of the, resolution, but I figured you all would have edits for that for next month's meeting anyway. So I think realistically we weren't looking until the end of September for when the resolution would go to the board.
Okay.
And then we can, once that's adopted, we can always wait and find out before submitting the application to Bird City.
Okay. So we'll do the resolution and then we can see when pull out the paper and when we might want to make the final application.
Yep.
So that is pretty much it. I saw that the lights out went out.
Yes.
I really appreciate that. Perfect timing.
And before we leave that, Dave, because you had some recommendations on what the commission can do, right? How do we operationalize those?
Yes. Well, I would like a little time to think about that. With the winter coming up, I'll have a little bit more time. I'd like to do a lit review. Dig into the research on that and conservation efforts that have been made, what's worked. I've just glanced at stuff, but I haven't really sunk my teeth into it. So, and maybe talk to some more experts.
Is it premature though to put, into, a process, and the process is permits, right? That's anybody who wants to deal with a roof has to come through the permitting process. Is it premature to put something within that, that is not a dictate at this point in time, but at least talks about considerations? Is that premature to do that?
I think that's great to start thinking about it. Yeah, I know you had mentioned that last time, and I mean, I think that would be ultimately yes. Let's go down that route and think about.
At least put these things as considerations, right? So that it's every time somebody comes in, it's automatic. It's not remembering, what happens, but it's also, we're not to the point where we can say emphatically that this is what we need to do in order to preserve that, right? So at least something to get people's thought process going on it and considering it and say, hey, this is a potential. So maybe I'll earmark a piece of this to keep the gravel there. Or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, personally, I think the rooftop thing is a losing battle. But I'm willing to fight it. At Roosevelt, I think we lost the gravel roof at Trinity, which is why we didn't this year see any dive behavior. We have the gravel roof at Jewel. I don't know for how long. We have a gravel roof at Roosevelt until next summer. So if you wanted to be really effective, then I think, and I've talked with Ben's father, Mr. Cadillac, about this, thinking about how to get, starting a conversation with the Board of Education at D90 as they begin to plan for their roof replacement. Now is probably the time to do that. But I think I would want to do some homework about the economics of it all before that. Be happy to work with you on that if you'd like to put something together and go before the board or anybody to inform them of this situation. Because I think that's like, if we were like the Historic Preservation Commission in Chicago, right? They flag buildings that are like threatened. You know, we could do the same thing with the gravel roofs and be like, okay, this is priority number one, this roof. You know, we just lost Trinity. Let's not lose this. What can we do? If you would like to, or anyone, kind of be a task force to kind of focus on that rooftop, I'd be happy to help.
Yeah. Do we know of any others that are prime targets? I thought there was Concordia. And...
Isn't Jewel one?
Jewel, yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody has any. I haven't even begun to tackle like who to talk to there, how to approach that as a commercial property. You know, could be.
When I was on something prior to this called the Friends of the River Forest Park District, and we received like a sustainability grant from Jewel. So I could go back and find the person that we talked to for that. And that might be a name.
That would be great. Any little, like any window into that organization. One researcher, the professor I spoke with down in Bradley earlier in the year, you know, it was like the building manager is the guy you got to talk to, but he might be able to get us up on the roof. But ultimately, I think it's probably a corporate decision
if it came from up high that this was something that was important, they would like to be known as, you know, being conscientious. Then I could really start there.
That would be great. We could make Roosevelt number one. Yep. We could try to get to talk to Concordia. I've been on the roof at Concordia just a few weeks ago.
Which roof are we talking about?
Is where I was seeing all the dives. Do you know the campus?
Mm-hmm.
So on the corner of Augusta and Monroe, so southwest corner of campus, there's a Christopher Center, and then you go just north of that modern building, and there are two kind of dated mid-century dormitories.
Yeah, two dorms right there.
They're pretty ratty shape. They have
ratty roofs, which is what we like.
Ratty roofs, yeah, totally. I mean, I think if Concordia had more money, they'd probably replace those in a heartbeat. Yeah. But they don't, and I'm virtually certain that's where the action was.
There, yeah, I agree. So I just want to do something tangible out of it while we're doing the other pieces in parallel, right? But I didn't want to jump the gun on it either. So maybe
One thing we can always do is inform. So it would be a very long process to get a change in the ordinance or the codes or anything, but we could always inform. And Seth, I don't know if there's a way to flag certain institutions that
I was thinking if we did a polite little letter from the commission.
And I think
that would go to these entities, and
advisory is important. Like the data is good, but it's, we should validate it. It should be looked at by an end. If we're going to get into like codifying it, there should be some additional steps, but advising, totally.
That's all I'm saying.
Advising is easy. We just have to make sure our facts are right and come up with an appropriate list, because this doesn't really apply to residents, but there might be some businesses, along Lake Street that it applies to.
Mm-hmm. Or north.
So when you say advisory, you're meaning.
Please consider that this.
Be aware.
Be aware.
Yeah, just be aware when you change it, you know, that this is something the village is very interested in preserving. And
David, do you have a list of like all the gravel roofs, or have any idea?
It's only partial based on like our survey and what we were able to tease out. I mean,
we could fly a drone over everything.
That's the third time that idea's come up. Yeah. Do you have one?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So your neighbor's kids.
Right.
We need a good drone, yeah. Because
that's an excuse to buy. I'm just kidding.
Once again, the police department has one.
Oh, that's true.
I'm afraid that would be a pretty swift no if we said that we wanted their.
We might have some civil rights groups.
Several thousand dollar drone to the police department to just check out some of
those. Google Maps is not terrible. It's difficult.
It's
based on the coloration. It's not reliable. But short answer, no. So it would be nice. For example, we got back a lot of what I call null results. So we had people that would go out and they heard nothing or they saw nothing. And that was because I sent them along like Madison or over by Lake Street by Pete's, and they heard nothing and they would walk down these commercial districts. And so my take from that was that, okay, so we just learned that those roofs, wherever they are, don't work. And short of being able to get on top of them and look, if someone comes back and says they heard nothing, but that doesn't mean like along North Avenue or other districts, I think like on Austin, maybe there's a big hospital, West Suburban, right? No one was looking at that. So there's gaps. We could fill it all in for sure.
Right, but if you have
a memo,
two or three targets, and then you have a little brochure kind of thing. That's,
and also we would have to focus.
That's just put out whenever somebody comes in from a business or one of these, you know, condo type places for a roof as a kind of little flyer of consideration. I mean, that to me is how you can at least get something to put people in front of people so they can decide, well, yeah, I may want to do something with that.
And then just one thing for consideration is to, in terms of when this information is being presented, typically when somebody's applying, they are have everything lined up. They are ready to start construction. So if they're redoing a roof, they might have it all queued up and hadn't, you know, had already gone through other considerations of roofing material and things like that. So it might be more beneficial to just do it earlier, more broadly to, you know, the businesses and institutions generally, or those identified as having flat top roofs or something like that.
Well, you know, another way to do it would be to make this species like a mascot or a representative of the village. So I've seen this around. You probably have too in your travels. If you go down to anywhere along the South Atlantic coast where the sea turtles nest on the beaches in South Carolina or Georgia, you know, they're very aware of that. Community groups kind of work to protect the nests. They have posters and murals and paintings of the sea turtles. I was just down at Montrose Point Bird Sanctuary this morning, and driving down Montrose, I noticed three huge murals in different alleys of the plovers that nest on the beach there. So I was struck that you know, Chicago is now nationally famous for those birds, and the neighborhood up there in like Edgewater is capitalizing on that. They got these big murals. I saw there was like one of some of those neighborhood street banners that had a little bird profile.
Nighthawk Park.
That's not a bad idea. So right there, we got it right across the street.
I mean, you're not making it up because they were just there 5 minutes ago. So I think, you know, in terms of getting ahead of the curve before the permitting process, which is late, maybe just like saying, hey, we're going to commit to this species. And Nighthawk Park.
What is the bird in Edgewater?
The plovers, the piping plovers.
Oh, okay.
They have names.
Yeah,
they had names. As a matter of fact,
Tribune all the time those birds. Yeah,
they, you know, fall migration always just catches me totally by surprise because it doesn't. It's still summer, but Seth's notice came out that fall migration lights out, and then I read in the Tribune that the plovers had taken off. Almost that same day, they're gone.
It's almost like they got the memo.
Yeah, they got Seth's memo. Right. So, short story, I think, like, let's consider maybe a broader branding or mascot project. And then let's think about how we would communicate with the D90 board about this before they commit to their capital outlays for.
Yeah, I would agree. But I'd also add in the other two where you at least have high suspicion, like Jewel. and Concordia. At least we can get something into their hands too before they even plan on doing something else. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's your memo. You're polite.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about the new park across the street? It can be the Nighthawk Park.
That's what Gary was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it needs some branding, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking too, a good opportunity to kind of bring in the, you know, public facing image of the Nighthawk and everything is the forest preserves. Cause I know they'll be, you know, perhaps more than others, more eager to kind of be involved in this project. So I was wondering, David, if you've had the chance to share some of the results that you've, had to part with them.
I have not. I'd like to, I want to, yeah, no, obviously they're key because, I think the important thing here isn't that, well, we need to figure it out. Like, what are those birds doing? Are they relying on the forest preserve or is there an articulation between the forest preserve and the mm-hmm. residential habitat? It's such that they are able to use both, which is much more powerful of a finding. And so we need to study it more, but yeah, I need to have a meeting with,
Is there a graduate program in what is this called? Odorland? What? How do you?
Ornithology.
Ornithology. Thank you. Is there a graduate program who could study it?
A like graduate student?
Is there an ornithology program in Chicago or?
The really big is at Cornell.
Okay.
All the bird stuff comes out of Cornell. So if we could get
There are students in biology departments around Midwest who okay. I've contacted a number of them who such as this. Well, I mean, our advisor is in Washington State.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's looked at Nighthawks in Milwaukee, Minnesota.
But to your point about the connection between the forest preserve and here, like,
but according to her, no one's looked at that. Yeah.
Could a student around here?
I think
that?
We
could
might
we
be
bring
able
it
to find
home?
Some. I think so. I think, yeah, I think that, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'd have to ask around. And,
yeah.
You know, David, at the high school, I don't know if they still have it. When my son was there, they have a they have these kids doing research for the year.
Theses. Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. It's some.
Yeah.
If you know that, but
I don't know. Yeah.
Your senior thesis. Yeah.
No. Or, it's a year long thing, and that you do research. My kid did research.
Was this a class?
Yeah.
It's yeah. AP class. Research.
No, it's not AP. Maybe they changed it. I can't remember what it's like.
My son took the class. It's like I don't.
You have to get a project, and if you get a kid that's
for
involved,
honor society.
This is a great thing for them to okay. do, and that whatever the course is. I mean, I'll text my wife right now. Maybe she knows what it's called.
Okay.
I thought it was an independent study. No.
Independent something or other.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that. I don't know what class it's part of, but
yeah, no, yeah. It's actually the class.
Yeah.
And them loose on it, right?
Maybe we could get somebody from the environmental club interested.
Oh, sure. No, I want to keep everybody 100%. Now I gotta say the participation rate from the environmental club was a little low.
But it was also
I got more than one email. I forgot about that. Sorry. So
it was summer, which is a hard sell.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you just a cause and effect. But I have to say, one of the best sets of observation we got was from I think the vice president of the environmental club, Bill Aring, I don't know, over at
Ben Aring.
Irving Elementary.
Yeah.
I've got it pulled up on the screen here.
Yeah. Just an outstanding, I mean, that set of data was just worth everything else. And then, I want to continue to work with the environmental club. It was essential that we have a bunch of volunteer adults from Oak Park. They were tremendously helpful. Yeah, these are great suggestions. A lot to continue to.
Can we look at this database? Is it accessible?
I sent this out as a separate attachment with the packet.
Okay.
We could also do a shared. I don't know what this village uses or what we use, but if you guys use Google or 365 or something like that.
And I think there was a shared like sustainability
SharePoint or something.
Google Drive at some point. And
I can dump.
Might
it.
I just like need to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So Seth, you're saying it was not in the packet, but it was a separate mailing?
Yeah, it was a separate attachment in the same email.
Same email.
Right, okay. Right next to it. I got them together.
Okay. I'm just looking off of the village.
Yeah, so I mean, when you look, you know, as was summarized in the one pager, you know, when you think about the number of eyeballs and the number of nights and the number of hours, it actually added up, and that's just a tremendous accomplishment. And
this is amazing, David.
Yeah, so I'm grateful to everybody that participated. You're graduating, right? Or you have one more year? Okay. Okay. And you know, if we go forward, I know it didn't work out with Triton this year, but somehow down the road, I hope we can pull them in, because they mm-hmm. would be on that kind of urban interface, urban wildland mm-hmm. interface.
Yeah, and we're right next to the forest preserve as well, and we have a plethora of gravel rooftops which aren't going anywhere soon. So
oh good.
Yes, so that is good news. But
make sure that doesn't change.
Yes, yeah, and hopefully a lot of students too that could be involved.
And I'll send this to Dr. Brown. Yes. And maybe that will give him a better idea, because I felt like he wasn't too confident in what we were doing. I don't know, but if we can give him something a little more formatted,
sure, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, I think that would be helpful, because he was wondering about the protocol, but I know he's interested. So,
is there any way to make charts out of this? I feel like charts are so much easier to absorb.
Yes, definitive yes from our data expert.
Thank you. I just feel like you can look at them in a second. You just absorb it all.
Oh yeah, this is.
And then you.
That's
and then
why
you have
started
the,
with Excel.
Right. And then you have the attachments.
You have to. You have to. What which is really valuable about this though is what's in the field notes there in the far right.
Yeah. No, but I'm thinking like what I see is like sort of graphs, and so you register it, and then you go in the field notes and you get the details.
Okay. Yeah. Right. For sure.
Well, just one more comment on this. This sort of primed the pump a little bit on what we just talked about. Does it make sense to take this one pager and maybe even boil it down to a little bit more, and put that out in our next newsletter?
In like a bulletin? Like...
No, a little bit of write-up, because we talked about the study before, right?
Yeah, I think we had discussed this as just having some sort of brief write-up for just like a summary for the newsletter and social media.
Yeah. Yeah, they're here. Here's where we found them. Here's some things that we see that we'll be looking at to better define in the future, but things that we're going to want to look at.
And
yeah,
got those all, you got, and this could be a just quick 100-word blurb, and I could even include the picture you took of the Nighthawk on Roosevelt Middle School. So
That's I can do that. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Just, and heavy on those pieces at the bottom, right? Because that's when you start to promote the gravel roofs and those types of things, like more studies needed. But these are our basic findings. They like the gravel roofs. Yeah. So, so at least start to get it out in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I can get that to you for the newsletter and whatever else. And also in the course of applying for this conference, panel presentation, I probably will have to write some condensed blurb that may also help. So
sounds great.
I just have one more thing to add. So I have an artist who has agreed to do a rendering, and I can talk to you about what medium you want her to use. Her daughter's getting married in September, but I think she could do it right after that.
Rendering of what?
A Nighthawk.
Oh, absolutely.
That we could use it for whatever, you know.
Just, sure. Yeah, then it would be ours. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Sorry, that's been, that went on.
Well, it was a big piece of our agenda for quite a while, so.
And we're not done.
We're not done. Good.
So moving on to the next thing, I had just quick memo, and then I included basically the basic template Bird City resolution that Bird City, Illinois provided. I provided examples for what the town of Normal and city of Evanston did. You can see reading through there is they took some of the sort of template stuff, but then factored in their own language specifically for this, just to be as sort of all encompassing for a first draft. I basically took the entire template language and then I moved a few things around, but then I added several whereas provisions The sort of general one about sustainability in the village's comprehensive plan, and then different items that sort of check the different points that sort of check the action item list that we've checked off. Some of them more broad, some of them more specific. Was not planning to vote for this month on this, but wanted to sort of get this all in front of you so you can review it, offer up any edit suggestions you may have. Yeah. Got the couple other community examples from, I believe they're the two or at least two of the more recent communities to become Bird City members. So,
do those help you, the other applications?
Yeah, I there's like
another one I can get you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Fremont, Illinois, up in northern Illinois. Yeah, so I'm happy to look over this and get it back to you next. Yeah,
perfect.
And meanwhile, while we're looking over the resolution language, you've got the you're kind of keeping track of.
Yeah, so I sort of saw what Normal had did because you had provided that full packet of what they had done, and went through. I've got a full file documenting each thing, whether it's copies of the resolutions and proclamations that have been adopted, screenshots and links to the social media posts, all the various things like that, just sort of documenting and
everything we've done to qualify whether we're going to use it or not.
Correct.
Just to have a record of it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And there is like a minimum, but we can obviously submit beyond that. I think I remember when the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus sort of first brought this certification, there was one of the communities, I want to say it was a North Shore community. Can't remember exactly which one, but they basically tried to check off as many boxes as they could going down the list, even though they only needed to hit a certain one. And, they said they had like the most of any applicant in the state, which I know there's only, I think 9 communities, but still.
Okay. Well,
we should try to beat them.
It's good also to just have a record of what's being done. Right. And what we might be able to, if we don't use it, cite it this year, we could come back to it and perhaps put more energy into it, and just to have a record.
Yep.
I think so.
And then moving on from there, let me share my screen again.
While you're doing that, Seth, and now you've told me this probably 15 times, and I always forget. So what is the timing of actually submitting that application?
They take them on a rolling basis. There's no sort of deadline. They just want to, when they have the application, have all the criteria within it met or the threshold met.
So what's our timing to submit?
I think by the end of the year, because there's the issue of having the event every year, but then once it's submitted, we are officially a Bird City community for the next 3 years. We will need to continue to do the World Migratory Bird Day event and proclamation every year, and then every third year is a readoption of the resolution. But as we sort of discussed, continuing on the focal species monitoring. I know there's been just sort of brief mentions of reviewing other things on the list in future years to see sort of what other actions we can undertake.
So sometime after the first of the year, we'll be told if we're an official Bird City.
I don't even know if it's that much of a turnaround. Some point after we submit the application, and then they could just, whenever they review it, decide to sort of issue us the official certification.
Okay, but we'll be submitted by the end of the year, is what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd want to get a determination on that paper that we're going to present, and if we do present, then I'd put that in as like the culmination of this aspect of the project, and then submit.
Yep. Yeah, and even without that, we've got
ready to go.
Yeah, other documentation, even this one pager and the sort of observation sheet sort of.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the finalized green building guide for electrification. Ty, I know you had sent some edits over that I was able to incorporate. I know there were some edits that Gary had suggested in the last meeting. And I know some of that was more geared towards the two graphics I had suggested. One, for some reason, was much easier to edit than the other. And it's the one that was sort of more designed to be like an Instagram post. So the other one, like the font kept changing everything else. So I just decided to just sort of scrap that one and go with the one that was working. But yeah, here is, let me see if I can make this screen. A lot of it is sort of text explaining the benefits, both environmentally and financially, for heat pumps, induction stoves, you know, even electric and heat pump clothes dryers. Basically, this top section is all the major appliances you could choose to incorporate and electrify in your house. Here's the permitting process information, which this was a lot of feedback given by our building department manager about, you know, the electric load calculations being sufficient and all that stuff. As I mentioned, I sent out the survey to all, I think it was 50 or 60 HVAC installers and mechanical contractors. Only got 5 HVAC and 1 mechanical back. The one mechanical didn't have a website, neither did 2 of the 5 HVAC contractors who responded. One of the 5 HVAC contractors who was not listed here said they didn't do heat pump installations. So this is the limited sort of universe of those who voluntarily provided this information. But yeah, I've at least got that incorporated in here, got this information. And then we had previously had guide to heat pump and guide to induction stoves, which were originally our former commissioner, Luis Mezzatesta's bigger newsletter articles that she had written up. So I had really taken these and added these as sub pages to the guide. And then I know one thing, I think Ben was the person who had initially mentioned this, and then one of the contractors mentioned it, was the hybrid energy or dual fuel heat pumps. One of the contractors said that when they do these installations, this is really all the one type of heat pump they will install because of cold climate. And I know heat pump technology is continuing to progress, but I included a paragraph of that information into this guide as well. So plan was to, using the one working graphic, begin to promote this in the next few weeks through the newsletter and social media. And then I haven't had much time to get to this yet, but I know we had talked about having future green building guides on building materials and building practices, and then on weatherization. So yeah, plan to bring those forward and sort of work on drafting those up at future meetings. And Manolo, I know this is your last meeting with the commission and you had sort of kicked this off this spring. So hope this was sort of the vision you were hoping for.
Well, yes, it was. Thanks. My summer kind of got really busy. So thanks for picking it up.
But then the next couple of items after this, Susan had asked me to add these to the agenda in our pre-meeting to set the agenda. So Susan, I had the West Cook Wild Ones Wildlife Corridors as the first item on here. I didn't know
what we wanted to say about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So actually this came from David. David sent to me a map of the West Cook Wild Ones, and that was just something that I would like you to distribute. So I can send that to you. But basically the bottom line is I was just really impressed by the number of households in River Forest that were included on that, and just keeps growing. So just bringing that map to people's attention, and I will send that to you by tomorrow so you can.
I think I've found it. I think I might be able to even share it. Give me one second.
I just found it too, but I wasn't quick enough sending it to you. If you just
That Susan or David, I guess, what is the criteria to
that's it.
Be one of those? Or whatever one of those is.
I think these are all just documented native planting locations that people have voluntarily submitted. I know because I just clicking through here found one of my neighbors up the block from me, and like a couple years ago he had turned his whole front yard into a elaborate native plant in with like a rock walking path through it. And I just like clicked on his address and saw just every species of plant he planted listed out, basically.
And yeah, Seth, we should be able to zoom in a little bit too, so we can see. Yeah. Yes. Greater detail. So, I mean, it's pretty evenly spread all over the place.
That can be anything from like what you just described, Seth, to someone with like a half a dozen flowers in a corner of their yard. It's everything. But the idea is that if there's enough coverage with sufficient plants that invertebrates and pollinators depend on, then they're able to move through the landscape more easily and have a stronger and bigger population. But I think Susan and I had also discussed this kind of all came up when just contemplating some of these plantings, we thought it might be interesting if River Forest could recognize one or two of them every now and then.
Yeah. Well, so it is this sort of the origin of all of this was David was walking or biking home for the last meeting, and he saw a really beautiful yard on Forest. And, you know, because this goes back to what Ben was trying to do in terms of the awards. We didn't get a lot of people submitting it, but maybe we could be more active in going out there. And a friend of mine has a list of, I think it goes back to last year, that the homes in River Forest that were on the West Cook Wild Ones garden tour. So maybe we could kind of review those and, you know, as a commission sort of vote on them or look at the.
Or maybe we could divide up. Everyone looks over a bunch of blocks and then submits the best house, and we look at them and then decide. Yeah, and it might
Right. Something like that.
Pretty easy to do.
Yeah. Right. And then, that person is like River Forest's, sustainable landscaping champion of the quarter or the, whatever.
Put a little sign in front of their house. They'd love that stuff.
Yeah. I would just say either making sure we have permission from the homeowner if we're highlighting them, or like have it be like as zoomed in of a picture as possible. That's just seeing the plants and you can't tell whose yard it is. Yeah. And then being like, you will see plants like this throughout the village.
Yeah.
Well, and also if the homeowner was, of course we get permission, but if they're willing, like one of my friends was on one, as was David, that maybe, so my friend used a landscaper. So if she would be willing to provide information, just so it would be as well as an acknowledgement, it would be informational, because I feel like some people want to do this, but they're a little overwhelmed. And if they don't, if they don't want to pay, they can go in and kind of take pictures. And I think she has a list from David. Isn't that part of the tour, that there's a list of the plants on your property?
You can provide one if you want. Yeah. Okay, it's not required.
Okay. So, but there's some additional information she or David might be able to dig up. And so that was this. So this is sort of an ongoing thing. So this is just sort of the beginning of the discussion. But this also came up because we talked last time about distributing milkweed seeds. And I have a provider. I have actually my place of business. She wants to rip out all of her milkweed before they pollinate. And she also gave me a supplier of, like a little manila envelope, and she's willing to help me do a graphic to put on with some direction. So I think we're all set to be able to have that for fall for Village Hall to give out.
And that sounds awesome.
And Trailside might also be willing to give it out. So I'll keep working on that. That's just on me. And if we do all of this, then we can do a little write up too.
Seth, is that on the village website, or where is that?
This is the West Cook Wild Ones website, but I'll be sure to share this as well. Cause you can see it's largely concentrated, Oak Park, River Forest, Riverside, Brookfield, but you can keep zooming out and see it goes throughout the Chicago region.
It's pretty.
Yeah, I think what Susan was saying, that would be really great if we're able to highlight some of these people's stories, because I think it's always great when people can share kind of their unique story related to their native plantings. Like, I know we had the opportunity at Trident, David came and kind of shared, his whole journey with creating it. And I think it always like just leads to a lot of inspiration, and it's different for everybody. So obviously if we have their permission, we can share the photos and highlight them, but then if they're able to provide some testimony either through the newsletter or some other means, I think that would be really nice as well.
Maybe we could arrange during the winter for like a panel at the library of two or three. and people come and, you know, maybe share the information that was shared with West Coast Wild Ones and just help people. Because, you know, I think one thing that comes up in meetings that I go to is we're doing all the right things. We just need to scale it up. So just any way we can make this more accessible, cheaper, more available, I think would be a good use of our time.
That might be a good, Susan, opportunity to reach out to some of these landscapers who do this work and
maybe you have a couple of homeowners and a landscaper.
Homeowners and like a landscaper that someone's used locally. And because I know
there's got to be one landscaper that, you know, sort of stands out as the, you know, the one, the real specialist or who does the most or whatever. So
yeah, there's a range. You have the more kind of commercially oriented, and then you have, I think, some more local, small scale guys.
It would also be a chance for us to engage the library further and maybe, you know, make some progress there. Cause I know you were trying to work on them for their planting. So it would be an in.
Ah, right.
Yeah. All right. let's talk more about that between meetings.
And then the next item, Susan, was the electronics drop off the PCs for people, I believe, was the provider.
Yep. Let me go back to my. So this was an event. Gary, did you bring this up just in our pre-meeting, or did we talk about this in the full meeting?
Pre-meeting.
Pre-meeting. Okay. So Gary had brought up in a pre-meeting that Oak Park Temple was doing a collection for technology. And what's really nice about this is they were not just recycling it, but they were going to we're probably use them for parts, but they were going to put together electronics and distribute them to low-income people. So it's an actual, you know, cycle of using it, not just recycling. And so we were just thinking about ways that we could do this at the village, perhaps as a pilot, and maybe also, thank you, Seth, for pulling that up, and also maybe providing information to the various faith communities within the village to see if they might, you know, also be inclined to do this. So I just thought maybe we could talk about that and what would be the best way to approach this. So I did take things over to Oak Park Temple, and basically they just drop off a big box. And I think when it's full, you call them up and they pick it up. So not a lot of work on our part, a little bit of space. But I thought maybe we could just run a little pilot and see how it all works and see what the snafus are. And then from that experience, maybe send things out to the faith community. The holidays is always a good time to do this because a lot of people get new electronics and might be willing to let them go. So this gives us enough time.
And Susan, do you know if I was looking around here a little bit, I couldn't find the exact information. Is this specifically computers or is it all sorts of?
Oh, no, because I, you know, I had the list. And actually you sent us the list. No, it's everything. It's computers, printers, keyboards, monitors, cell phone. I mean, it's very, very big.
Cables.
Yep. But actually, it should be in your email because Gary provided it to you and then you sent it out to us. I could try to find it too. But I mean, we can talk about that. So I just wonder, does anybody have any feedback about the best way to go about this or? Microphone.
This thing keeps going off on its own. I can't picture an absolute plan, but I like the thought of at least doing something that is more distributed than what I often see on these, which is everybody show up to a single location and try and drop your stuff off, right? And it's generally
something a little more ongoing.
So I would think that, you know, starting out with like a pilot, like you said, maybe just with ourselves at the village or maybe including one of the schools, you know, like the high school or something, or middle school probably here because of, you don't have the high school in our jurisdiction, but at some point in time, and then even going broader than that. So maybe including like number of locations that want to participate, and you can get, you know, churches, you just ask whoever wants to sign up for it and get a number of these things out and have a time or two during the course of the year where people can just drop this stuff off. Cause it sounds like it's virtually no work, right? There's a box there and people put it in and gets full or time runs out and somebody comes and picks it up, right? So, I mean,
Seth, could you look at, well, I'll reach out to them and say, I did see the box. I would say it was, I don't know, maybe four feet square, something like that. Can you think, do you think there'd be room in the basement for something that size?
I need to go check and make sure. I just don't want it, you know, sort of going out too much from one side of the hallway, but I think there would likely be space for it.
So I'll reach out to them, see what they need from us. If you could just sort of look into the space requirements. Does anybody have any idea who would be the best person to contact at Roosevelt? Back to Corey.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll talk to my dad about this.
Oh, will you? Okay. And what, can you just look on the site, Ben, and get a little bit more information?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just see if that's something that either, I mean, maybe, I always forget what the name of the environmental club is called there.
Oh, yeah, it does kind of have a bit of a different name. I forget, too.
Go Green or something like that?
Yeah, that it's something along those lines, yeah.
But maybe it's something that the Go Green Club might take up and be responsible for?
Yeah, I feel like that would be a good person to, and
yeah, I think just starting with Roosevelt Middle School and the Village Hall, just run it once, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, you know, maybe at the same time so that we can put out information and say we have two different drop sites. And then if that goes well, you know, try to cast a wider net again, you know, either probably after the holidays is a good time because people are getting new things and wanting to shed their old ones. But it would be really nice if, you know, we could double that or something and, you know, just kind of keep growing. Probably, you know, I have a good contact at West. Oh, gosh. Gary, help me out. What's the name of the temple across the street? Harzion.
Yeah, I can't pronounce. I don't remember the name. I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
I think it's
you mean on our side.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows Phyllis Rubin, but she's pretty much up for anything. And and I do have also a contact at St. Luke's who.
Yeah. The only question I would have on the school, even though I brought it up, is will that be limited to basically students and faculty, right?
I would think so. Yeah, because I don't think they like other people in the school.
Right.
So so that would be this, you know, that community, and then other people could drop it at Village Hall.
Okay.
I would say if we want to have a collection box, I know at the end of senior year, I'm pretty sure they let you keep the Chromebooks they give you, but no one actually wants to keep it. Like everyone just wants to get rid of it. So if you could have a collection box on the last day at OPRF, you would get like 1,000 Chromebooks put in there.
Oh my God, that's a great idea.
I should email Lindsay.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Why don't they like the Chromebooks?
Because
do anything with
they're so they are so budget. Like they can't process anything.
It's basically broken by the time you finish school.
They are terrible. But they work for school. So if that's what they're using this
let me ask a question. Are they broken or do they have limited use?
No, they just have limited.
They're not fast enough for the kids.
Not fast enough.
You know what that brings to mind is that maybe we could have a partner school. Like I have a friend who teaches in North Lawndale, and what if we gave them a, you know, 500 Chromebooks? How wonderful would that be? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sort of take out the middle person.
Yeah,
they have an IT guy who can look at it over the summer and kind of, you know, get them up to par. So
AJ, is that something you could bring up to the school?
Yeah, I would love to bring that up to them.
Okay, why don't you take that one?
It would literally be a box out for one day and you would get 500.
That sounds like we're going to need more than a box.
Yeah. Well, and actually if we were doing that, we could do it even more formal. We could say, you know, if you do not want to keep your computers, pass them in, and then we would come up with the way to get them.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of that would be way more than that would be fabulous.
And I'd rather have this company pick them up.
We just remind me by the end, when end of school year comes around, and I'll bring this up with them, and we can get this.
Well, I think you should bring it up sooner so that it's in the
winter. All right.
And I think just knowing how big that school is and how passionately, as you saw tonight, that we view Chromebooks, I think we might need to, and I can share the contact if you want. But even maybe make Oak Park aware, because maybe they'll want to do something, mm-hmm. also help with this and tag along.
Yeah, that'd be great.
These are all great ideas. Thank you.
I still use this a lot.
Anything else on either of these two then, Susan?
Nope.
All right.
I'll keep pushing those forward.
Then last items of business were just I put together the quarterly waste report. I have basically given up on trying to find any correlation between the tonnages.
No, there is none.
Yeah. I will sometimes just update 1 month or one quarter's worth of numbers, and it'll flip from a very negligible positive correlation to a negligible negative correlation. So I don't think they have any impact. Some of it might be tied to that month happened to have five Mondays and Tuesdays as opposed to four and things like that, that there was just one extra day of collection. Obviously organic spikes in the summer and drops in the winter.
Wouldn't that make the quarterly statistics more meaningful?
Yeah. And so I break it down quarterly and seasonal, but there's still no sort of clear trend line in terms of the relation of if somebody is recycling more, composting more, are they producing less waste?
I don't mean to put you on the spot, Seth, but could you do a quick review of the conversation from the trustees about revisiting the opt-out composting?
Yes. So yeah, the board in their June meeting began to discuss the LRS contract, which expires at the end of April. One of the things, so George Strom, who was then with Strom, they were since bought out by LRS. He is now a vice president in LRS. One of the things he put forward in sort of the initial option would be to incorporate composting into the baseline cost for the village. So it wouldn't be an additional fee for people who opted in. It was sort of confusing to try to explain with the proposal that he put forward, simply because basically anybody who wanted the compost cart could request one and get one for free. Going forward, they would all be 65-gallon compost carts. Anyone who has the big 95-gallon or the small 35-gallon could keep theirs until they needed it switched out. But then annually, whatever that base fee would adjust based on how many people had opted into the program. So it was sort of spread out over the course of the village, with the sort of lowest level, which I believe was up to 800 households. And as of last month, as of June, we had 561 households. So potentially an additional 250 households could opt into composting. The fee would be, I don't remember the exact amount offhand, but like $2.50 more a month or something like that. Very negligible. Basically would cover the cost of two yard waste bag stickers per month for the collection. So that was discussed at the board. You're all welcome to go back. It's an open meeting. You can watch it yourself. I would say there was probably a split among the board as to enthusiasm for that. One of the other things discussed was the electronics waste recycling. This LRS has indicated that they can do the e-waste recycling fairly easily. And basically what the board raised was to try and make it easier, even as simple as one day a month, everyone can just set their stuff out at the curb and LRS would come by and get it. So these were just very preliminary things discussed at the board level. I'm not sure. I think while I was gone, Jack, our public works director and Matt, our village administrator, had one additional conversation with LRS, basically just summarizing what the board had discussed, but that's really where we stand for right now.
So I just have a few questions. So what is the significance of the 800 households?
This is just me trying to remember these numbers off the top of my head, but it's, basically, there's the base fee for it covers basically recycling, composting for anyone who opts into the cart. Like it's spread out. The cost is spread out throughout the village. And then anyone who chooses to get a compost cart could get one for free, and the cost remains the same for everyone. However, once a certain number of people enroll in the program, that requires more trucks, more manpower for them to begin collecting the compost carts.
Okay. So with the current, capacity, they have room for another 240 people, and our base rate wouldn't go up.
Roughly, yeah, yeah. And I could be wrong on what that number was. For some reason, I just think it's 800. And there was basically, I feel like, three or four sort of levels all the way up to the roughly 2,900 households covered by the village collection program.
And the 250 fee, which level is that associated with? The 250 additional fee?
Like that is compared to if we were to just continue on with the current structure of the contract, where it remains the additional opt-in cost.
Oh.
So to get everyone to set that up and let people just opt in.
Yeah.
Just 250 so, increase cost.
And I please don't take my word for it on the exact cost, but it was something that like could a less than $10 amount that could very easily be covered by the cost of, I believe it was less than the cost of 2 yard waste stickers.
So for the people who are currently paying for composting, this would be a significant reduction in their fee.
Correct.
Oh, it would go down.
No-brainer to me.
For those in the compost program,
for the first,
because there would be no additional fee for participating in the compost program.
And what I love about this compared to previous conversations is that, you know, I thought we can go out there and spend a lot more money and get composting, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to compost. So if there's some action on the part of the household, you know, even if it's just calling up to get there's some desire for them to actually do it. So that seems encouraging.
Yeah. And I think that was sort of the point that I believe it was Trustee Gillis was making during the meeting, is that even if somebody is just putting their yard waste that they're already bagging and buying stickers for, it's already starting to become financially beneficial for that person. And then, you know, if they throw their, you know, banana peels and eggshells in on top of that, that's
but then we just do a lot of, when we get to that point, we do a lot of education about, like, yeah, hey, if you got a compost bin, you may as well put some compost in there.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah, that was sort of the initial thing discussed, because that had been proposed by George to the village. And then, if I recall correctly how the discussion went from there, it shifted to the e-waste collection and just finding ways to make that easier. And I've heard it from trustees as well as residents of difficulty with the sign up of the e-waste and hazardous waste collections. Hazardous waste, I know, is a little more tricky because it has to be specifically handled by a subcontractor, and it's sort of difficult to make that sort of financially make sense. But in talking with George and with LRS, they're pretty confident in how they are able to handle electronic waste collections. So I have
a request. Could we put this on for, you know, this is great that this is brought to our attention. Could we put this on as a topic for next month? And you'd have a chance to go back and get the exact numbers and, you know, have a fuller discussion about this.
Yep.
And then I guess in light of our previous discussion, I'm wondering if, you know, maybe we could think of another way of going at the electronics waste recycling. Like if we could get a number of places that are using the PC, whatever that PC for people, that maybe we could do some negotiating that, you know, we want to go up on the composting, but we've come up with another way for electronics. So there has to be a cost associated with that. So maybe they can come down a little bit if we find another way to address the electronics.
In terms of the electronics, the impression that I got is that it is not a major cost for them.
I mean, they must pay.
Hazardous waste, that's the
major. They must pay somebody, right?
I think so, but I think because LRS's focus is primarily on recycling, and then they can just sort of have this run as sort of a separate stream of recycling, that based on the conversations, I don't know the exact economics of it, but it sounded like the collection of electronics was not a major cost issue.
Maybe we can just pursue this and, you know, sort of pursue the two things in tandem with each other that, you know, we may have a way to come up with more regular collection of electronics. So maybe this is not necessary. I don't know, just sort of push the conversation forward. So you said, so this is coming up in, the renewal is coming up in April 2027.
Correct.
What would you say is the timeline of when a decision will be made?
I do not know.
Okay. So maybe we can include that timeline, you know, sort of a timeline in the next one. So, because there's nothing more frustrating than having a big, long discussion and then finding that we've missed the deadline and there's nothing we can do for 5 more years. And all of us will likely not be on the commission. And then that's a whole new conversation. So this is our chance. And I think we should seize it.
So where did the trustees leave it?
This was sort of the first sort of preliminary discussion just to introduce it to them. I don't know if there was even an official vote, but basically there is authorization for Matt, the village administrator, to sort of begin the negotiating process for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I mean, the composting, it seems like a no brainer if they're going to give you 250 people and eliminate the cost of the however many before that, 550, I guess. The question you're going to have is everybody says, well, it's free, so I'll take it now too. That'll be the only, the question that the village has to come up with, how do we address it then? Beyond that, I think
getting it's a people no-brainer. Getting people to do anything, even things that are in their best interest, is harder than you'd think. But I guess that part of this that confuses me is they're going to lose the revenue from the people who are already paying. So
they're making it up someplace else.
They must be making that up.
It must be how it's spread out, that it becomes cost neutral or cost beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, they're going up and down these alleys.
They have to be bumping.
Picking up zero or one. They're going up and down the alleys.
Yeah, they have to be bumping something up. We could just get more information on that because it sounds a little too good to be true.
Yeah, and again, I don't remember the exact numbers. I can find what was.
Yeah, so we'll look in and we'll have another conversation with more specifics. So at least we can weigh in on this issue.
Not going to cost them any more in labor, gas, anything else.
But they're going to lose the revenue they have now.
Yeah.
Moving on to village projects, installation of the solar panels on the public works garage should start, I believe, towards the end of this month or beginning of September. Is what I thought. I could be wrong in that. It could be mid September. Trying to remember the exact date. I've got so many projects.
You get their electrical stuff figured out.
They've got the final electrical is with our plan reviewer for that. So they submitted it to the building department. It was forwarded along to the plan reviewer. But I think that is all figured out and then should be up and running sometime this fall. Also this fall, there will be reconstruction of the front portion of the parking lot and then the police drive around here with permeable pavers. So that's partially funded through the MWRD. And then we're also utilizing a state grant from DCEO for capital improvements to help cover the rest of that. So the village portion of this, roughly, I think it's roughly $500,000, and the village portion is about $100,000. So it's, you know, in terms of leveraging other funding sources. And then MWRD also approved funding partnership for the south lot here. So that will be also a permeable paver lot in the next couple of years as well. Beyond those two projects, I sent you all the sort of solicitation for plant ideas for the park over here. I had not seen a response from you. I did get a response from Ty and from Jeff. And then Susan, I know you had suggested the species list for the partial shade parkway pollinator program that had run a few years ago.
There's also a full shade version.
Or I thought it was full shade or partial shade and full sun. Separate email. Yeah. It was probably a week or two before. But basically I took all three of those lists, and at least for the initial portion, sort of filtered out which blooms when, what colors they bloom, to just offer a variety of colors, and then forward that along to the landscape contractor who's been doing the work over there. So I'd imagine that stuff will be going in the next few weeks. I know the big first thing was to get the benches and then the waste receptacles, which are garbage recycling and compost, if you want to check them out. So that was one of the suggestions from one of the students who had come in towards the end of the spring and offered public comment. I believe it was one of the ones who spoke at the village board, not the one who had spoken to this commission. But yeah, those were installed this past week as well.
Would the village allow a corner to be milkweed?
I think it would depend on the species of milkweed. I think that's... We do have swamp milkweed in the Chicago Avenue bioswales. So
was that included in the plants that you sent over?
That was not included. I did just try to, because I think as I sorted through a lot of it, there wasn't any milkweed in sort of the final list. And then I did sort of offer that as sort of a separate suggestion of there was a couple species of milkweed that do better in partial shade. Red ring.
Partial shade?
Partial shade, yeah, because it's there's a tree overhead. So even though it's the planting is south facing, there will still be some sort of tree canopy coverage. I believe red ring milkweed, which actually flowers white instead of red, was one of them. And then I'm trying to remember the other one. It might have just been purple milkweed, I think, is what it said from what I could find. And there is another one called like poke milkweed, but it really does not flower at all. It's very small. Yeah.
And all of those are attractive to monarchs?
Those are the ones that, from the information I could find, do better in more shady areas, which this could be, a lot of it could be partially covered by a tree. So
are they all used,
yes,
by monarchs?
Yes.
Could you resend that? I don't think I got
it. Yeah, I'll forward it to you.
So I think you had your head in the sand, Dave, because you had so much going on.
Could be.
So will this qualify that property for West Coast Wild Ones Wildlife Corridor?
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It could potentially, yeah.
I'll look into that and see what it would take. Because that would be wonderful to have a sign over there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had just forwarded that information along, your information along probably Friday. So I haven't received any update thus far, but I'll be sure to update you all as that progresses. And then I know we've talked about, that's sort of the one corner, and there's a lot of cleanup work that still needs to do on the rest of it. And I know the board was wanting it to just sort of how the entire space evolves over time, just to get a lot of community feedback and input and see how things progress. So,
is this considered just the first stage of all of
this? Yes. Yeah. So yeah, the first, it was very just like, let's get a few things in, benches, the water fountain, trash cans, some sod, the walking path, and then native plants was one of the first things discussed at the board level. So we needed at least, or they wanted at least one sort of section, sort of fairly quickly installed. And then I will share one last time here. So looking ahead in terms of communications, we're running just another thing on the paint care program and just general paint recycling information this week. Last time this was run, I think it got pretty positive feedback, but that was back in January or February. And then I've even occasionally get calls from residents still and sort of try and direct them to this program in terms of where to get rid of paint, particularly latex paint, which is not collected as part of the hazardous waste program. Next week, I was going to run the green building guide promotion. And then I didn't know, David, if it made sense to plug in the Nighthawk survey, just some sort of summary the week after that.
I can't read that.
28.
8:28. So yeah, I would need that by 8:24. And then just a few general things for the coming months. Electronic waste sign up, hazardous waste sign up. We run a Leave the Leaves item typically every October. The pumpkin smash is the, I don't know if it's the day after Halloween. Yeah.
Well, or either the day or the weekend.
So I had had it plugged in for 2 weeks just to give it enough promotion time as we get closer to that. I'd thrown in just a few placeholders with the question marks for Bird City and then the milkweed seed distribution. These can be adjusted. However, we will do yard sign recycling again for the week and a half or so following the election. And then I do have holiday lights on the far horizon of this calendar. I did receive notice from Elgin Recycling, who is who we've been working with for the holiday lights program, since at least before I started with the village. They are no longer running their program. So I'm not sure what exactly the plan will be, but that may be something to discuss as we get closer to November.
David, do you remember when the milkweed seeds start drying up?
Oh, then yeah, not in September and October.
So I wonder if that one, can we put that one back a little bit sooner, Seth?
Put that.
Well, there was. Can you go back to the go back to put?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so I had tentatively had that in for October 2nd, the beginning of October.
That would work.
Well, I was just thinking maybe a little bit early so people know about it. Could we, it looks like you don't have anything for 9/11. Could we do it then?
Yeah. Would that be too early? And I can even put it in for 9/18, just because okay, that was just a placeholder there.
Yeah, that would be good. Let's do 9/18. And so you need something by when?
That preceding Monday, so that would be 9/14.
Okay. And how many words?
100 or less.
Okay.
We can do Echo Ship again.
Yes. Yeah. That I'll see when the sign up comes. I feel like the sign up is typically October, November, and then they get it out typically that first week of December. And so that runs, I believe, first week of December through first week of January.
So we probably shouldn't be running that as the same time as the PCs for people.
No reason if there's couldn't. Yeah, separate drop off locations, you know. Clearly separate collection containers.
I think January would be good timing for, well, I mean, the pilot would be sooner, but January for a more full scale coordinated pickup.
But yeah, that's all I've got for in terms of updates. I don't know if anyone else has anything. The order, or
no, I've been seeing a lot of monarchs lately.
Yeah, that's good.
I've been seeing a lot of milkweed, not so many monarchs. I think this is a down year for monarchs, and I remember looking at a timeline, and it's very up and down. And I think last year was.
I've been told that when I see very few monarchs, then people who know and who have access to larger framework tell me no, it's a great year. So it's hard to tell based on your yard.
It is hard.
All right. With nothing else, with a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
I second.
Oh.
All right. Co-chair Lennon.
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec.
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
Commissioner Beckman.
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:30 exactly.